Thank you for directing your internet connection to this sermon audio page for Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. You can learn more about Geneva Presbyterian at www.genevaopc.org. Geneva meets for worship each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Let's turn together to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. And our text will be verse 11 through 18. Let us give heed to this God's inspired word. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. The grass withers and flower fades, but God's word abides forever. The Reformation was a mix of the accidental and the intentional from a human perspective, all under God's providence. On All Hallows' Eve, October 31st, 1517, the night before All Saints' Day, Professor Martin Luther nailed 95 propositions to a church door in Wittenberg. And at that moment, he was not intending to separate himself from the Roman Catholic Church, but rather to bring to the attention of his colleagues and his fellow priests the corruptions that he was seeing in the church. And so if we phrase these theses as questions, some of these questions could be, for example, what is true repentance? Is true repentance the same as doing the sacrament of penance? What does the scripture say? Or what are the true treasures of the church? Is it what we bring to God or what God has brought to us? Does the Pope have the right to make the promise of what is written in the indulgences to clear the debt of those who are in purgatory? One memorable analogy I've heard is of Martin Luther climbing a staircase in a cathedral in the dark, and he's wrestling with himself and his conscience. He's about to stumble and fall where he reaches up and grabs a rope and pulls that rope and sets off the church bell accidentally. And the church bell resounds through the countryside, and those around in the village hear of it and rally around the one who yanked the rope. In other words, what was at first a tremendous personal struggle for one monk and his fellow circle of priests became an event with wide-ranging reverberations. When Martin Luther was later asked, how did all this change take place? His answer was very simply, the Word did all the work. And as we come to the book of Galatians, we can hear a kind of bell ringing as well, because it's the liberty bell of Paul's epistles. The note in which Paul strikes is that of freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. True liberation, true freedom. One of the early Americans, Patrick Henry, said, give me liberty or give me death. In a way, Paul is saying that before Mr. Henry, in the sense that those are the options before the church. Either holding fast to the freedom of the gospel of Christ, or dying apart from Christ. And the reason that the book of Galatians has a Reformation ring to it is that Paul himself is confronting a church that had strayed from the word. They had, according to chapter 1, so soon deserted him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. And so we see the agony of Paul, the intense grief he shares over the plight of the Galatians who have veered from the course that he had set them on. Think about this. The apostle himself preached the gospel to this church, and yet, so soon after, they are going somewhere else. They are seeking a faith plus circumcision, faith plus works of the law, faith plus doing the law. And in adding to the gospel, they're subtracting from their own sense of stability and confidence in Christ. And so we come in these verses to Paul's closing statement to Galatians. Notice with what large letters I am writing to you in my own hand. If he wrote it today, he would put it in all caps and bold and underlined. He's probably used a secretary up to this point, but now he takes the pen in his own hand, and to show the enlarged heart for his church and for their recovery and for their restoration, he writes these large letters with his own hand. And this is the point I want to make to you. He's saying there are two marks. First, the mark of trying to stand in the self. And secondly, the mark of standing in Christ. Well, firstly, the mark of standing in the self. Verse 12. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. Now, throughout the letter, Paul has told them the problem with their false teaching in terms of its inconsistency with Scripture, its inconsistency with their own experience, and its inconsistency with Paul's own apostolic call. But now he does something new, and that is to zero in on the motivation of the false teachers. What are they after? What are they about? What's driving them? And the answer in verse 12 is, they want to make a good showing in the flesh. That's what they're really after. This word means to make a fair appearance before others. They want to make the most positive impression possible. And in a culture that was very concerned with honor, with saving face, this would have certainly struck home. See, Paul is telling the church that those who have come in and preached an alternative gospel, which is not really a gospel at all, are only seeking to save face. They are only seeking the smile and applause of others around them. We might say it's all about the optics. How they look, how they present themselves, how they appear. Notice, not only make a good showing in the flesh, but then in verse 13, that they might boast in your flesh. That's their preoccupation, that's their obsession with the flesh, with the matters of the flesh. And so how do they do it? They try to coerce the church into circumcision. They do this as an intimidation tactic. They're telling the believers, if you don't do this, you won't be true children of Abraham. You won't be truly righteous before God. But Paul says, don't be afraid of them. Don't be wooed by their dominating tone and presence. Because behind their intimidation tactics, what's behind it? The apostle is suggesting that behind it is really a sense of insecurity on the part of the Judaizers, the agitators, the false teachers. They're trying to find their security, notice, not in the cross, not in Christ, but in your flesh, in what you do in response to their message. They sound confident, they sound self-assured, but it's betraying a shakiness, an instability in their hearts. And to do this, they're also involved in flattering the people. If you look back at chapter 4, where Paul tells them in verse 16, "Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth?" Notice in contrast to verse 17, they, these other teachers, they make much of you, but for no good purpose. They're puffing you up. They're telling you, yes, you have the ability to keep the law. Yes, you have the ability to accomplish the righteousness that God requires. And so the church had begun to feel good about their potential and about what lay within them. And they begin to take their eyes off of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Reformation was also about a church that had by and large lived for making a good showing in the flesh. The Reformers saw a church hierarchy that had underwritten the merchandising of relics, that had worship services where the congregation were bystanders to the performance of the priesthood. The bishops were, many of whom were growing phenomenally wealthy, and the Pope, who was using indulgences, why? For a building campaign to build St. Peter's in Rome. A church that had told itself, just like Israel in the days of Jeremiah, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Like a mantra, saying it enough would somehow make it true. And what our forebears and forefathers rediscovered was that the church is not the church because it wants to make a good showing in the flesh, but precisely the opposite. What is the flesh? The flesh can only produce what is deadly and lethal. There is no good in me, Paul says, that is in my flesh. We cannot make a good showing in the flesh, because our flesh is captive to sin. And so the Reformers, instead of wanting a cosmetic, a superficial solution to the problem, went back to the foundation, went back to the fountainhead, just as Paul calls them to come back to him who called you in the grace of Christ. Does the Reformation need to continue for us today? Absolutely. Because even though circumcision specifically may not be a threat to the church in this day and age, what it stands for certainly is. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. If you consider it, the alternative to the gospel as it's revealed in Scripture is a religion based upon appearances, how you look. It's a religion in which we ask the question of the mirror, 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 on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And setting it up so that the mirror will tell us, you are. If you don't have Christ, you will in some way try to feel good, try to seem good. It's all around us, isn't it? making yourselves presentable, photogenic, Instagrammable. We are affirmation hungry, and we will go to great lengths to secure that affirmation from others. The apostle says in contrast, am I still trying to please man? Am I still trying to make a good showing in the flesh? If I were, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's the mark of trying to stand upon the self. But secondly, notice the mark of building upon Christ. Verse 14, but far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I with the world. I to the world. Why is it that Paul cannot build a foundation upon making a good showing in the flesh? It is very simply this, because the cross has completely put to death the realm of the flesh, the world and all its powers, so that he has died with Christ. In fact, it is in this epistle that he uses the term crucifixion very repeatedly to point to the reality of Christ's death, but also his death in Christ. The first time is in Galatians chapter 2. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Chapter 3. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It is before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. And then in chapter 5, he says, those who have belonged to Christ, chapter 5, verse 24, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The crucifixion means that you now belong to the new creation. Circumcision does not do that. Circumcision actually locks you in, cements you into the world in which sin still dominates. But as he says in verse 15, neither circumcision, that is being a Jew, nor uncircumcision, that is being a Gentile, counts for anything but a new creation. And the new creation has been worked by God alone. God has done it. God is the one who has secured our place in this kingdom through the cross of his Son. And what can we say to this gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified? The only thing we can add to it is our amen, is our hearty amen. The false teachers wanted to amend, to supplement this gospel with something else. I want my say. I want to have some sway myself to add to what God has done with what I do. But if righteousness were through the law, if righteousness were in any way through the works of the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Far be it from me to boast in anything except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, saying amen makes us more than observers, but now we are participants in the story of redemption. Amen is the way in which we go through to the portal of the new creation, where peace and mercy rests upon us. And as we say amen to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know that this is our sufficiency, that this is God's satisfaction for sin, notice what takes place. By which the world has been crucified to me, and eye to the world. There's actually three crucifixions in verse 14. There's at the center, most significantly and importantly, the cross of Christ. But there's two others, because there's the crucifixion of the world to Paul. The world has been crucified to you. What does that mean? It means you are dead to that world. It means you are completely separated from that world. It means that the world has no claim upon you. You do not belong to it any longer. The world has been crucified to you. You see, God's yes in the cross is at the same time a no to the powers of this world and all its pride and all its presumption. When you've been crucified with Christ, you shut yourself off to the voice of the world. As one commentator says, Paul was a man of another spirit. As the world had no kindness for him, so neither had he any great regard for it. He had got above both the smiles and frowns of it, and had become as indifferent to it as one who is dying out of it. This is a temper of mind that all Christians should be laboring after. And the best way to attain it is to converse much with the cross of Christ. The world has been crucified to me, and I've been crucified to the world. The world regards me as a Christian just as it regarded Christ, a spectacle of folly and of shame. And for Paul, uniquely, he continued to bear, didn't he, in verse 17, the marks of the cross. In other words, the marks of persecution. The false teachers wanted to do everything to avoid suffering, avoid affliction, avoid contempt for the sake of the gospel. But Paul says, look at my tattoos. Look at the stripes that I bear, the lashes on my back for preaching the gospel. Far be it from me to boast in anything except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really what the Reformation was about. Where is boasting? Where is the place to stand? Paul says, I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. Romans chapter 3, what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded by a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. You see, in Christ, any boasting in ourselves for any reason is completely excluded. Far be it from me to boast in anything at all except in the cross, except in what God was doing, reconciling the world to himself. Jeremiah tells us, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast in his strength. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. And these are the ways that we continue to boast, don't we? Someone would boast because of their smarts, because of what school they went to or what credentials they hold. Or there's the boasting for what our bodies can do, winning the strongest man competition, or being the fastest person. Or because of wealth, I have the biggest stash of cash, I have it made. And God tells us, don't boast in any of these things, but let him who boasts, remember what he says there, boast in this, that he knows and understands me, that I am the God who exercises mercy and loving kindness in the earth. And how has God done that? Definitively so, in the cross. At the cross, God showed his wisdom for us. At the cross, God unveiled his power for us. At the cross, our certificate of debts that stood against us with its legal demands was nailed there. And at the cross, the powers of Satan were subdued. Thus says the Lord, Isaiah 29. Thus says the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall no more be ashamed, nor shall his face grow pale. There is coming a day in which those who know Christ will not be ashamed of the gospel, but instead to boast in the cross. And so, what are you boasting in today? Is your boast in the things of your own pedigree or your own performance? Or is it in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what God has done for you, what God has done to secure righteousness and life and adoption as sons? May it be that we boast only in the cross of Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we do pray that with the apostle we would continue to count all things as loss for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. And we do pray, O Lord, that we would have the same regard for the world because we know that we are to pick up our cross and follow after you. And so give us, O Lord, not only faith in the gospel, but assurance as we live in the freedom of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.